we now request Pravrajika Saradesha Prana of the convent at the Vedanta Society of Southern California in Hollywood to address us. Her topic is death as a form of spiritual practice.
The memorial service for Southern California reminds us that the death of one we love is a great turning point in our lives. Amidst our very natural sorrow, we have a great spiritual opportunity. We tend to avoid thinking of death, particularly of our own death, but also of the death of those that we love. We find it a little frightening and a little morbid and a little depressing. But Sri Ramakrishna was not a morbid person. Those who came in contact with him regarded him as a person of great joy. Holy Mother says that being with Sri Ramakrishna was like having a pitcher of bliss in the heart. Yet Sri Ramakrishna recommends that we meditate on death every day. In the Vedantic tradition, death doesn't come as the grim reaper. Death comes as the teacher to show us how to live full, joyous, and effective lives. In the Katha Upanishad, it's when Nachiketa questions Yama, the god of death, about death, that he's taught the highest secrets of life. And it's when Arjuna is facing death on the battlefield, particularly of those he loves and respects, that he's able to absorb the teachings of the Gita. It's only by accepting and understanding death that we can truly learn to live. With most other forms of spiritual practice, we have a choice. We can choose to make ethical integrity the foundation of our lives, to cultivate truthfulness and unselfishness. When the alarm goes off in the morning, we can choose to get up and meditate, or we can turn it off and go back to sleep. We've all had mornings like that. And on Sunday morning, we can choose to go to the lecture at the Vedanta Society or stay home and watch the football. I won't go into the World Series because I come from Dodgerville. But with the spiritual practice of death, we have no choice. We are all going to die. And we're all going to lose somebody that we love, either quickly and unexpectedly, or what's perhaps more difficult, slowly and painfully. The only choice we have is whether we'll face death as a conscious spiritual practice and experience it with a sense of joy and freedom, or whether we'll face it in ignorance and experience it with denial, anger, and fear. In the Yoga Sutras, ignorance of our true sense of identity, as they say, is sustained by attachment, aversion, and fear. And all forms of spiritual practice are basically methods of diminishing and ultimately eliminating these so that we can experience and manifest our true sacred self. And this is probably why meditation on death is a particularly effective form of spiritual practice, because it makes us confront and deeply explore our attachments, our aversions, and our fears at a very profound level. Meditation on death can help us focus and intensify all aspects of our spiritual practice. When we begin to make ethical integrity the foundation of our spiritual lives, one of the major problems we face is our attachments, our feelings of ownership, whether it's to our body or to our opinions or to our relationships, our possessions, our career, or creative opportunities. And this attachment gives rise to anger and selfishness, greediness, and in extreme cases can cause us to lie or harm others to get what we want. Death reminds us that all things belong to God. They're only lent to us for the duration of our lives. There's a very beautiful poem by Franz Werfel. One thing I know, nothing is mine to own. I possess alone this awareness. Awareness of death can enhance our practice of each of the four yogas. With Jnana Yoga, it reminds us that we're not the body and the mind, that we're that sacred eternal self. With Raja Yoga, we can use meditation on death to whip the restless mind into shape by reminding it that the time of death is uncertain. This may be the last meditation you have, so if you're sitting there with your mind wandering over all the problems of the day, sometimes this is helpful. In California, we have a natural advantage because we're always being told to be prepared for the big one. So you can sit there and think, the big one may happen. This may be my last meditation. With Bhakti Yoga, death reminds us that our lives are really fully in God's hands, and it helps us to attain the surrender that will remove all fear. With Karma Yoga, we can do our work as loving service of God with no thought for the results, because we don't know the time of death, and realistically, we may never see the results. Death also provides the opportunity for one of the greatest services we can give to another, to help them keep their mind on God while they're dying. The Divine Presence comes to us in the form of death to help us focus and intensify all aspects of our spiritual life. Although we believe in reincarnation, we don't take human life for granted. Human birth, the scriptures tell us, is very difficult to obtain. It's a rare and great privilege. Human life is precious because it's only as a human being that we can strive for God realization. When I was quite young, I heard a story that left a very indelible impression on my mind. The president of the board of demons was very concerned, because goodness was increasing and they were scared that they were going to lose their share of the global market. So they summoned all the chief executives for a meeting to have a new marketing campaign. Now the first executive, when he arrived, said his suggestion was, I think we should make our campaign, demonic life is more enjoyable. After all, who knows if we survive after death or not? And everybody knows religious people are dreary. We should enjoy what we have here and now. Demonic life will give you much more pleasure. And the chairman said, yeah, that's a good idea. The next demon said, I think the campaign should say, look, if we don't take any notice of the needs or feelings of others, if we only think of yourselves, you'll have much greater power and freedom. And the chairman said, that's a good idea. Now, the third demon was a very old, experienced demon. And he said, I think the campaign should say this. Of course religion is a good thing. Spiritual practice gives you the greatest joy. It's the true purpose of life. But it's just the moment you're so busy. There's so little time. Things are very pressured at work, and we're having to do work on the house, and the kids have got so many dance recitals and sports practices we have to take them to. We will do spiritual practice, but later when we've got more time. And the chairman of the board of demons said, this is the campaign we'll adopt. And given the pace of modern life, I think we can see how successful it's been. It's not that we don't think our spiritual goals are important. It's just that it's so easy to bog down in all the mundane daily details of life. For most of us, it's only when some kind of crisis comes that we truly examine the priorities of our lives. But how we spend our time is how we spend our life. Holy Mother stressed that opportunities for spiritual practice should be taken advantage of immediately, because we don't know the time of our death, and we don't know how long these opportunities will last. She would recommend that at the end of each day, when we sit for our evening meditation or when we offer our day to God, we evaluate how much time we've spent focused on our spiritual practice and how much time we've wasted. For those of you that plan out your week on your iPad, perhaps you can put some time in at that time too. But even if we don't do it that often, at least once a year, to go on a retreat for a few days, a weekend, and for at least part of this time, we should carefully examine our lives, make sure that our daily schedule, where we're really spending our time, is a reflection of our spiritual priorities and is supporting our spiritual goals. The divine presence comes to us in the form of death to teach us how precious human life is, but to remind us that it has an unpredictable time limit. I've many times counseled grieving people who tell me that had they known they would never see a friend or a member of their family again, they would have resolved the issues between them much earlier. Had they known that they would never see someone they loved again, they would not have parted from them in anger. In the face of death, the issues that had seemed so important and had divided them suddenly seemed so trivial. One of the things that struck me about 9/11, the last plane in Pennsylvania, when the people knew they were going to die, certainly the accounts we have, no one called and said, "Honey, please move our shares, you know, I'm not going to survive this plane journey." The important and meaningful thing for those relatives, although they're relatives of those who lost their lives, was that they had called those they loved to say goodbye and to tell them how much they loved them. But we can do this every day of our lives. We don't have to wait until the moment of death to express our love, appreciation, and gratitude to those we live and work with. The divine presence comes to us in the form of death to teach us what's important in life. When I was a very young nun, I had an extremely important problem. I now, for the life of me, don't remember what it was, but at the time it was a very important problem. So I went to ask Swami Asaktananda's advice. And he began to tell me a story from the Upanishads. The fire said, the cow said. I said to him, "Swami, I have a real problem, and I want a real answer from a real person, not a talking cow." He was very patient. He said to me, "You're not understanding the Upanishad. What the Upanishad is saying is the divine presence teaches us through all things and through all the circumstances of our lives. The divine presence came to us in the form of a skillful guru, a loving mentor, a compassionate spiritual friend. This same divine presence comes to us in the form of death to remind us that life is very precious, but it has an unpredictable time limit, to teach us what's important in life, and to enhance every aspect of our spiritual practice. I pray that Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother may bless us and enable us to provide the memorial that I have no doubt Swami Prabuddhananda would have wanted, that each one of us intensify our spiritual lives and practice." Thank you.
Our thanks to Prabhu Rajika Saradesha Pranaji for a very practical and inspiring teaching on death as a spiritual practice.